They're just wondering how you ever got involved with Eva.
Well, that's very easy to explain. I came to this country, and Eva's sister, Winifred Spielman, whom you ought to really to see.
I've seen her.
Was a core Rockefeller fellow of mine. She was in industrial psychology, and I was an economist. But we met quite frequently in America, and you know, Europeans are thrown together in America. And so we were very friendly. We went to visit friends in Scotland and so on. She became then vice director of the Institute of Industrial Psychology. And she introduced me to Eva, and Eva at that moment had a room empty. I think one of the children had gone off to school or something. Three ways was the house called, and it was on the edge of a road and the heath. Very nice. And she invited me to stay there. And then, of course, she was interested in my work. I was really an international economist. And I lectured in Morley College.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm.
This is my connection with her, you see. Her being head of Morley College. I then found that it was a little bit too outside London. Was it Garfield Road?
You mean her way, yes. Her house? Yes, that's right. I mean, it's really Hampstead Garden suburb.
That's right. Yes. It was too far away, and I had a job, and I went away for 6 months and to be on the League of Nations. And when I came back, I didn't go back to there because it was more convenient. I had a very pleasant place where I had stayed before I went to Eva Habak's house in Gordon Square, very near Keynes. And at that point, Keynes and I were, I mean, he was very kind to me. So that was very convenient. And, you see, I know of her effort as an educationist and organizer in Morley College, you see. And I knew her, you see, generally, and she was terribly kind to me. But, I mean, her politics were, her politics were, you see, liberal rather than socialist, you see.
Yes, she was sort of, in a way, lib-lab, but she's lib-lab. Moving towards Labour,
yes.
Rather, but I agree.
Yes, I mean, well, you see, Bevin put very many upper-middle-class people off.
Yeah.
Because he was ruthless and brutal, and unnecessarily so. On the other hand, you see, they didn't know what to do. You see, Attlee was flirting with Marxism. Very short period, of course.
Yes.
But the whole thing was very disorganized. I mean, how disorganized it was, you see, shows that, mostly, you see, instead of waiting on his behind, rushed into all sorts of things, you see, which really...
Did you didn't lose touch with her then after you left, you ceased living with her? I mean, you...
No, I saw her from time to time, and I valued, you see. I wanted to become a don. I didn't terribly like my life in the city, though it was very interesting, and I had a fascinating chief. And so, you see, I took any opportunity where I could lecture, and I lectured at WEA. I also lectured in Morley College, and in the end, you see, I became an honorary lecturer, let's say, a private docent, if there was any such thing in Britain, but in order to get a sort of place in University College under Noel Hall. And then of course came the war, and I drifted out. I didn't see her after the outbreak of the war.
Didn't you?
No, I don't know what happened to her.
Because one of the things I've noticed about her is that she does keep up with people. I mean, she'll suddenly visit them, or she'll suddenly make contact in some way or another. And in fact, you didn't see much of her. You didn't see anything of her.
No, it's not after the outbreak of war. Up till then, yes.
Mm. And your connection was really largely an academic one, was it really? Or was it more a personal one? I mean, in the sense
both.
That you liked her.
I liked her enormously, yes.
Did you? Oh, why,
yes.
Actually?
She was a terribly kind and very sensitive person. And I, on the whole, at that point, you see, I wasn't Labour at all. I became Labour when the rearmament went totally wrong here. And I mean, one couldn't be anything else, you see, because I mean, the liberals were important.
Yes, yes.
And the Tories, you see, really were appeasers.
Yes. But I mean, she had a knack, didn't she, of attracting young people around her. What was it about her, do you think, that really attracted young people? I mean, you must have experienced it yourself.
Maybe, you see, she made people feel secure, and therefore, you see, better than they were.
By taking them seriously?
Yes, short description, yes.
Mm.
She was very sensitive. An enormous woman.
Was she?
Yes.
What, sort of breasty, I mean?
Yes.
I see, yes. So she was sort of motherly figure in a way.
Motherly figure, but she she was very kind, you see, she was very considerate. She knew what other person felt, and she put one at ease, I think. That was the attraction, I should have thought, you see.
She was an economist at Cambridge, wasn't she? I mean, she did economics, didn't she? Or was it moral sciences? I can't quite remember.
I don't remember.
Anyway, she'd be interested in your
subject.
She
was certainly very interested in my subject, and she used me, you see, in Morley, though I never was a sort of regular lecturer in Morley. I couldn't be because, of course, my job demanded, you see, that I was more free. I couldn't in the evenings because I was with Falk, who was Keynes's friend. I got there through Keynes. And, but she was, you see, she knew, of course, the whole of this Cambridge gang very well.
Mm. You mean Keynes and...
Yes, but she didn't, you see... She knew them from the university, I should have thought. But not privately, I don't think. She was, of course, in between them and me.
She brought you into contact?
No.
Or reinforced contact?
Reinforced contact, yes.
Mm. Because that's another thing about her. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but she...
I think, however, that she introduced me to Mallon.
Did she?
Of Toynbee Hall.
Oh, Jimmy Mallon, yes.
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 Who was a very great man.
Yes, yes. He was a sort of, I suppose a sort of philanthropist in a way, was he? But,
He was the warden of Toynbee Hall. I think he had some private means, but I mean, he was a social, I would say, you see, a very high-level social worker. Mm-hmm. And that's in a funny way, you see, like Beveridge started, Mallon, yeah. Jimmy Mallon, I think, was among Lloyd George's young men.
I see, yes, I don't know much
that
about
that group,
it.
You see, yeah. Beveridge. Whenever there was need for something new to be started in England, you see, they always had to go outside the civil service to start it.
Mm.
I mean, when it came to peacetime intervention, you see, then they had to have a peacetime beverages and whatnot, and when it was war, you see, they had canes and...
Yes, do you see Eva in that context, in the sense that she's one of these people who works in voluntary organizations, but whose main aim is to get government...
She got a got payment. I think she had a salary.
Oh, she had a salary.
In Morley College.
Oh, she did, yes. But she was principal, wasn't she? But
yes.
What I was really meaning was that she...
She was a came from a very rich family.
Yes, she did, the Spielmanns.
Spielmanns.
Yes, very much so, yes. I really meant that she's a sort of intermediary between voluntary bodies and government bodies,
yes.
In the sense that she's trying to get government
yes.
to do things.
She was on the minor key, a bit like Beatrice Webb. Only Beatrice Webb was a very frightening person, you see, for young people, or at least she did frighten me. And Eva, you see, put me totally at ease.
Was it the fact that you were a newcomer to England important in her taking you up, so to speak?
No.
Because she does move in refugee circles quite a lot, doesn't she? Or Jewish circles. And
later.
Yes.
I mean, this was, after all, you see, I came to this country when Hitler had 3 people in parliament. I stayed in this country in autumn because Hitler had 110, from 3 to 110. And my presumptive boss, who was Jewish, Warburg, got very frightened, you see, and advised me to stay out of the continent. Which was a very wise advice.
You bet. Yes.
But
I really wondered, you see, why did she offer you a room in her house? Did she want the rent? Or was she interested in you? Or what, do you think?
Oh, I don't know that you would say interested, but I mean, she knew, you see, that I was rather lonesome. I was a friend of hers, of her sister's. Her sister, I presume, at any rate, you see that her sister she liked me very much, I think. We were very great friends. And so she offered me...
She was very fond of her sister as well, Winifred.
Winifred, oh yes.
So that would...
Yes, oh yes.
Well, if you're in the house now, in Golders Green, what was the house like? Can you describe it to me? First of all, what did it look like inside? And
well, I mean, outside, as you know, what it looks
yes.
like.
Yes. It's a sort of
Tudor cottage, enlarged.
Mm.
Inside, austere, I should say. Very austere. Sort of Cambridge... student.
What, with sort of stone floors and not much heat?
Well, no, I don't remember, they were parquet floors, I think, with rugs. But, you know, sort of simple beds.
and artistically furnished, I mean, sort of nice or not?
No, but I mean, I may be absolutely mistaken, you see, because after all, it's 40 years
or
more. More, 47 years ago, you see.
I mean, it didn't make an impression.
I was a very young man. Yes, it did make an impression. I think, you see, that, well, English people in terms of continentals, you see, are very austere and uncomfortable. Like being uncomfortable. I mean, you know, one hasn't got fire in one's room. I think we had a gas fire. And that I was terrified of, you see, because in Hungary, you see, one wouldn't have that at any cost.
What, because it would explode or something, or what?
Well, because it can poison you.
I see, it was
monoxide, you see.
Yes, I see.
It's monoxide gas. which burns.
Yes,
turns into dioxide, you see.
Yes.
So, I mean, in both, you either get poisoned from the one or from the other.
So, anyway, you found it sort of austere by your standards, anyway.
Oh, yes.
What, that wasn't for economy, it was just that she didn't care about these things, was it? I mean,
No, it's absolutely not the economy. Mm. No.
It just, she didn't notice this sort of thing.
Mm. She didn't care.
No.
No, I mean, you would see the same, you see. He was quite rich, you see. Hubert Henderson, you see, was a friend.
Mm.
He used to be professor in Oxford.
Mm.
Very nice.
He was a very well-known economist, too.
Oh, very well, yes.
Yes.
He was a friend.
Mm.
Well, his house was exactly like that.
Mm. So anyway, you had a bedroom, did you, or study bedroom?
A bedroom with a table.
Yes. And were you, did she leave you alone to get on with your life, or did she expect you to involve yourself in the house?
No.
No. Mm.
But I didn't, I think, if I remember well, you see, I sometimes ate dinner.
Did you?
There.
Not cooked by her, though.
Well, you know, I think it was.
Was it really? You surprised me. Because I thought that really she was just no good at housework and didn't want to do it.
Work? No, she didn't. I don't believe that we had that she had a permanent servant. I don't remember her having a servant. But as I say, you see, it is 47 years
ago. Fair enough. And but what
I can see her, you see, now. Facing me. She had very nice eyes. Of course, very tragic life. Habak was killed in the First War.
And big?
Very big.
Well dressed?
No. Well, you know.
Not
sort of, rather like, tweed.
Sensible
tweed.
Mm. Business-like, but not...
Yeah, not ostentatious.
No.
Oh, she was the most unostentatious person.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Was she? So in that way, she's rather like Beatrice Webb again, in the sense that... She's behind the scenes a lot.
Oh, certainly, yes.
Yes.
Certainly.
Yes. Well, that fits with what other people have told me. But did she try and sort of learn your ideas and sort of absorb your economic ideas from you? I mean, did she ask you questions and things like that a lot?
Oh, yes. Oh, certainly. I mean, that's why she asked me to lecture. But I mean, she liked my ideas. I mean, we were very much in tune.
Mm.
I was then, you see, a conservative liberal becoming a radical liberal before I became Labour.
Mm. And she was making the same. Well, she wasn't.
She did. I don't think that she really ever.
She'd never been conservative, I don't think.
No, never. Never.
So you're travelling in the same direction.
Certainly, but she didn't travel much, you see. I think she was a liberal and stayed a liberal.
But did she...
But then, you see, you mustn't forget, you see, that the Labour Party at that point, you see, was divided between idealistic chaps who didn't know any economics. Not that liberal. And the liberals, you see, who were interventionist, as the Labour wasn't.
Mm-hmm. You mean like Beveridge?
Keynes, yes. Henderson, Ken Lloyd-George knew it, you see.
Mm.
And the whole problem, you see, the protest against going back onto the gold standard, you see, it wasn't really very, couldn't be said to be Labour. Mm. On the contrary, it was really liberal, alone.
Mm. And she's in that group, really?
Oh, I think so. Now, I wouldn't swear to you, but I think you ought to see, I think she collaborated in the liberal book.
I think the yellow book, I think she did, yes. Yeah. I think she
because
did.
I remember seeing a leather-bound copy of the thing with a dedication from Lloyd George to her.
I see, yes, yes.
She said this, I remember it because I borrowed it and I thought I lost it and it was a terrible shock.
Because she moved in Lord Simon's circle, didn't she? Lord Simon of Winshaw, and that brings her right in the centre of the whole thing, doesn't
yes.
it, really?
But then Simon, you see, only joined Labour very late.
Oh, very late, yes.
Very late.
Yes, I mean, he's one of these liberal interventionists, in a way.
Yes.
Yes.
But, I mean, the Liberal Party was very much more interventionist than the Labour Party.
Mm.
The Labour Party, you see, consisted of very second-rate people.
Just trade unionists and idealists.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean, you see, when it came to analysis and policy-making, I should have thought, you see, that Beatrice and Sidney Webb were no good.
Mm.
And I mean, so far as, for instance, Palestine is concerned, you see, I mean, the Webbs were violently pro-Arab, you see, and were against the kibbutz, which was, after all, the most socialist of any sort of thing existing at that point.
Mm. But if you're still in the House now, in Hampstead Gardens, so what went on there? I mean, was it a centre of social life particularly?
No.
I mean, was it just a house where people came and went? I mean,
yes, more that way.
Mm.
No, I think you see that if she wanted to have, she invited people to her room in Morley, or at any rate, that's how I remember it. I mean, as I tell you, you see, all my memories are a bit, I told you that over the telephone, you see, that you mustn't take me as an
oh no, it's kind of
expert. Safe.
No, no, but I mean, it's, you know, you're fitting in with what other people tell me, and you know, I obviously compare what you say with other people, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But at Morley, then, can you see her there? I mean, is she in front of you in Morley College? What was she like there? I mean, was she very much
terribly good?
Mm.
Terribly good, and again, encouraging.
To
other people, and of course, you see, Morley College was very second best, socially speaking, or third best. So that need was, she was ideal, that sort of thing, and she did mobilize a lot of people, you see, who came and talked, quite good people, young people. She was doing good for the young people and was doing good for the college.
As in your case?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, it suited you both, really.
Yes.
Yes, that's interesting. So you're one of these people who's, in a sense, recruited to Morley College almost by accident.
Well, not by accident, because she invited me, you see, after she knew me.
Mm. But she didn't get to know you because she wanted you for Morley College, you said.
No, no, but I mean, then nobody could, you see. I mean, I was a newcomer.
Yes.
You see, if one is, I mean, it's like somebody from Wales arriving, you see, from the University of Sick. What's the place? In Aberystwyth, you see.
Mm.
With a BA in the pocket, they arrive in London, you see. It's a very difficult situation, you know.
I'm sure it is, and you found that she was a help to you in that.
Oh, very much so, yes.
Yes. What, by introducing you to people?
Not so much, no. So I think that I got to know Mellon, and that was an important thing for me at a certain later point, you see.
Mm. Mm.
Because he was trustee of an institute of which I became a member.
Because, you see, that's another thing about her. She seems to be a sort of contact woman.
Oh, yes.
Way. I mean, at the centre of a network.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But all upper middle class English are.
I mean,
the older network, you know, it's either Old Boy Network, Eton Network, or King's College. It's very networky.
How does that differ from Hungary then? I mean, where?
Because you see, in this country, family is second and social situations first. In Hungary, it's the other way around.
I see.
Well, in Hungary, it's very much more, you see, like. I mean, the more south and east you go, you see, the more the family counts, and the more social morale doesn't count. I mean, if you would say to one of these sheikhs, you see, that they have stolen 5 million, first of all, it's a bagatelle. But, and secondly, he will say that after all, I have to provide for my family.
But that was...
Allah said, you see, you should maintain your family, I mean, obviously.
Yes, I see the point. But that won't work with Eva, will it? Because Eva was very fond of her family, wasn't she? I mean, the Spielmanns, she used to go there every Saturday.
Yes, but nevertheless, you see...
There is a general contrast.
I mean... she went to the family because that's an obligation for Jews to do that.
Mm.
They are much more family, you see.
Yes.
You mustn't forget British Jews, though they are more British than the British, have certain hang-ups, like being nice to their parents. I mean...
But one of the things that's rather remarkable about her, as you say, she's got no husband, and she's got three youngish children at the time you knew her. Well, I suppose they're getting on by the time you knew her, but still, they're at school, aren't they?
They are quite young, you see, quite young. I mean, Rachel can't have been more.
Okay.
It's 47 years ago. I mean, she can't be more than 55 or 56.
That's right. But, I mean, she copes with all this. That is, with the whole family set up, and being head of Morley College, and being a key figure.
Yes, she was totally in control.
How? How is it done?
I don't know. I was never able to do it.
But I mean, was it sort of immense economy of time and organization? Were you conscious of that?
No. She wasn't at all economical at that time. No, she spent it profusely on other people.
Did she really?
Oh, yes. I mean, but she called, I don't know, you know, I really don't know how it was done.
Because she's not at all punctual. I mean, she's always being late for appointments.
That's what I mean, you see.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So she's not organized in a sort of...
No.
British way, in a way. But on the other hand...
Well, I mean, there are British. She was even very British, you see. She was in a sort of... there are sort of funny people in this country, sort of odd types, which are odder, who are odder than almost anything else, everywhere else, you see. Sort of...
you mean a tradition of eccentricity?
Yes. English eccentric is a byword, you see, after all.
Yes.
And in that sort, in a sort of very mild form, she was eccentric.
Was she really?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, otherwise she wouldn't have loved these funny things, you see.
What, you mean like...
like Morley College, yes. I mean, the tremendous enthusiasm, you see, for education, for acclimatizing people from a different milieu, about the sort of things she felt that was beautiful, good, or whatever. I mean, she was an extraordinarily nice person.
Sympathetic in the conversation.
Yes. Extremely nice. Tout court.
If you look back on your own career, then what do you owe to her, really, would you say? Getting you launched in England, in a way? Partly?
No. I mean, I was launched in England in a very funny way, you see, which is a different story, by an American professor who became, fortunately for me, when I was in need. I had been in Harvard, you see, as a Rockefeller fellow, who was became advisor to the Bank of England, you see, which is a mad thing that should never have happened, you see, I mean, now in back view, but who liked me enormously, you see, and he was really, he launched me. He and Keynes. Keynes had been alerted, you see, by Schumpeter, who was my, I had a term with Schumpeter in Germany.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was there, a fellow of the Hungarian college.
Yes.
So no, that's...
Yes. So really, she's not crucial to your career at all?
No, not crucial at all.
She's just helpful?
Oh, very helpful and, you know, very nice. And, I mean, you know, if one is very much alone in a very strange town, in a very difficult situation, with the political situation and the economic situation worsening and one not knowing, you see, whether one's sojourn permit will be renewed next week, then a person like Eva is great balm, for which I am very, very grateful indeed.
It's interesting, because one of her secretaries wrote to me and said, Erna Nelke, who you probably never met, but she said, she was a German refugee, and she said in a letter to me, when Eva died, I knew my great protector had gone. Somehow, she felt she could rely on Eva to...
Oh, cope. But I'm sure you could, if you were a friend.
And she's a person you could depend on.
Certainly.
Yeah. No, that's very, very, very helpful. Is there anything else about her that you personally think one ought to bring out? I mean, about her.
No.
That's really.